what we see is absolutely and completely constructed by our minds. We go from the experience of what we have and from what people tell us is the reality of things. So therefore, your life plan is almost set for you. But if you can look higher, higher than yourself, higher than the ideas on the earth, then you can actually start to set your life for you, which you actually did before you even came down here. And the dead can help you to understand that. Because once you're dead, you understand why we're here, what we're doing here. When we look at the earth, everyone's always talking about how hard it is, how difficult it is to get by in life, things like that. That can't possibly be true. Why would we keep doing it? Because it's a choice we're making to come down here. At least that's the belief system that I have, speaking to people on the other side, as well as spirit guides. I have a different perspective on things. That's one thing the dead do show me. The most important thing that we do here is actually the way we make others feel.
I'm on the line with Bobby Rowntree, who's over there in the Courtney area of British Columbia on Vancouver Island. And we're going to talk about, dare I say, the dead on purpose? That sounds... We have a lot to talk about, and this is really exciting because I was referred to Bobby about 4 years ago and surprised her with an in-person reading. She's used to doing things by the phone, and that's what we've done since. But we have not recorded an interview to share with listeners, so this is a special occasion. Bobby is what she calls a born medium, and she uses her gift to connect people with their lost loved ones. I don't know. Are they lost? I don't know.
Well, I use the term lost loved ones actually to be somewhat sensitive, because I can be quite cavalier about death. I actually tend to refer to them as the dead, which kind of freaks people out.
Yeah, and there's so many things to talk to you about, and I want to welcome you to Living on Purpose.
Thank you very much. I am so excited to be part of this. And I'm not alone, just so you're aware.
Yeah, well, I want to talk to you about that. Yeah, because you've told me this, that even when you were a child, there were people around you. And so let's just touch base with how this all started for you and your awareness. Like, what was that like as a child?
As a child, actually, it was quite frightening. And it started probably from the moment of consciousness, not that I would know. But I have heard from my parents that any time, and I remember that any time that I was quiet, coloring, doing things, playing on my own, playing with Barbies, things like that, that's when they would come. And they weren't pleasant. I've actually described them somewhat as Sesame Street monsters, which I understand now that as a child, Sesame Street monsters would have been my representation in my mind of something maybe scary or coming at me in some sort of way, even though they weren't really scary monsters on Sesame Street. But the dead need to personify something to remind you of what your mind understands. So as a child, that's what they would do. And as a child, I had no defenses. So it wasn't nice dead people who came to see me. It was angry dead people who would yell in my face and scream in my ears and make time go differently. I don't know how to put that. People would talk to me. My family would talk to me. And their voices would be so much slower than mine. And I would have such a hard time feeling as though we were in the same time zone.
Wow.
That's what they would do to me. And to me, that is just them pulling me from where we are, you and I and everyone else, to where they are, or the in-between, where they could actually communicate. Because I believe that's where they come to. They come from the other side into kind of an in-between space, and then they communicate with me. And I can't hold your father back much longer.
Okay, Dad.
He is a force to be reckoned with.
Yes, he is.
Yes, and all I really, your father, your sister, and your mother. And hail, hail, the gang's all here. I always hear that. Hail, hail, the gang's all here. They will say that to let you know that when you come to visit people on the other side, everybody comes.
Well, it's a big occasion, right?
It's a huge occasion. They adore us. They actually want to communicate with us, and they want you to communicate with them because they learn things that you need to know to get through this.
They learn things that I need to know?
Oh, absolutely, because what we see is absolutely and completely constructed by our minds. We go from the experience of what we have and from what people tell us is the reality of things. So therefore, your life plan is almost set for you. But if you can look higher, higher than yourself, higher than the ideas on the earth, then you can actually start to set your life for you, which you actually did before you even came down here. And the dead can help you to understand that, because once you're dead, you understand why we're here, what we're doing here, because it seems awfully silly. Because when we look at the earth, everyone's always talking about how hard it is, how difficult it is to get by in life, things like that. That can't possibly be true. Why would we keep doing it? Because it's a choice we're making to come down here. At least that's the belief system that I have, speaking to people on the other side, as well as spirit guides. I have a different perspective on things.
Thank God. I share a lot of what you're saying in terms of creating our own reality. And if we focus on it being hard, it's going to be hard. But I like the idea of the dead being able to assist us with insights and perspective and encouragement. And I must say hello to my mom and my dad and my sister, because I don't really feel like they're dead in the traditional sense of dead and gone. I've just not ever felt that. And in fact, I feel like we're closer than ever.
Agreed. Yes. My father passed when I was 16 years old, and I've been communicating with him ever since. And I feel a closeness to him that it's not that I don't have with my mom, but it's different because my mom's been living all this time. So I can't call upon her every moment of my life. I can do that with my father.
Right.
But also, too, that is because you and I both believe it to be true. Therefore, it's easier for the dead to communicate with us. We don't put a blockage there.
But when you were a child, though, I mean, you didn't even have a sense of belief. So that was different. So when did it change? Yeah, when did it change then, between then and now? How did it change?
It changed, I think, after my father passed away. I was already getting the inkling that this was the dead, but actually probably one of the biggest changes was when I was 7. And my grandmother, who was in a coma at the time, my father was unable to get to see her because we were living in Saskatchewan and she was in Manitoba. And in that coma, she came to my parents on a couple of occasions, from what I've been told, and spoke through me. Spoke so strongly through me that actually my parents tried to enter my bedroom and could not get in. And I spoke like her. I was complaining about the Jell-O on my nightie, and apparently the nurses had dropped Jell-O on her nightie at some point, and it was almost that cemented it for my parents. And I think that to them, they saw that there was something maybe a little bit different going on with me. It wasn't something they really wanted to address, but it was something that they were able to identify somewhat. So when it would happen to me after that, my mother would take me and put me in a corner by myself where it was quiet and say, just hold your knees and rock and tell them to go away. And that's what I would do. And that's what I continued to do until I was about 16 years old when my father died. And then I wanted to see my dad. So I started asking, and then I started seeing a lot more darkness than I was prepared for.
Wow.
Because when you're not ready for it, when you're open from birth like I am, then it can actually sneak up on you from behind because you don't know what's going on inside of your head. And thank God my grandmother spoke through me, because my parents would not have known. They would have gone under mental illness, because I would say I hear voices. And we did have a general practitioner say, I think she's schizophrenic.
I'm sure you had some interesting reviews. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't tell hardly anyone. We actually got to the point where we just said, we just don't tell people. It's just a family secret. You just don't talk about it. You just keep it to yourself, young lady. And that's what we did, because, you know, that was kind of the norm. I'm 48 years old. So very different way of bringing up children then.
Yeah, well, speaking of children, I mean, you're married with children. How did you and your now husband meet?
The man that I had my children with was my first husband.
Oh, okay.
I am now with my second husband. My first husband, though, even though he's not, I'd like to say, one of us, let's put it that way, he was very accepting because he could see the things that were happening. It's quite obvious with me. The things that happen to me are pretty, and I tend to think of myself as a logical human being, and I like to stay as grounded as possible so I don't get all, what I say is, frou-frou-y and lose my sense of reality with here, because I'm here for a reason.
Right.
So I need to be a human first before I'm a spiritualist. But with my children are the ones that save me. My daughter, my first daughter, when she was coming out, they tried to do the birthing bar, and she came right down upon my already broken tailbone from 2 years ago, and she rebroke it.
Oh.
And the breaking of the tailbone is a release of Kundalini energy. And that release of Kundalini energy came through me, and the thing that I centered my life on from that point on was the nurturing of my children, was motherhood. And I think that happened for a reason, so that I would center myself on empathy and the helping of others and putting myself in a place of service, because that's what I'm supposed to do. And I know that doesn't really, that doesn't sound good, but it is to me, because I am serving the highest power up there. I am helping other people get through this time down here. At least I believe myself to be helping people, and therefore that's why I do it, because it's what I'm supposed to do. It's why I was given this.
You say that it's your duty and your fate.
It's who I am. It's why I'm here. It's why they put me here. And I believe my grandmother had the same thing. And she was unable to realize it because of things that happened to her within her life. But that poor woman passed at the age of 63 of rheumatoid arthritis. And I honestly believe part of it was the physical manifestation of all the energy that was running through her, that she was unable to move towards the earth and towards the sky, because that's what you have to do with the energy. You have to put it down into the earth and up into the sky and let it flow through you. And if it doesn't flow, it'll back up.
Oh, well, that's a good point. Well, and you're involved with yoga. I mean, this is part of what you offer as well.
Oh, yeah, that was my start, yoga. Because it's body, mind, and spirit. I started with the body, and I tell you, I was obsessed with my body, with trying to be thin and look a certain way and all those sorts of things. And that was one of the things that attracted me to yoga at first. And then it was the actually fixing of my tailbone problem, because nothing else could fix it but yoga. But that was my initial motivation. Now my motivation with yoga is more energy flow. But mostly it's because I'm older now. I'm 48 years old. So what do I care about the aesthetic parts of things?
You're still very young, Bobby.
Yeah, but my brain is not so... I'm not so, what's the word I'm looking for, obsessed with how I look. I'm more obsessed with who I am as a person, like how I conduct myself, how I make other people feel. Because that's one thing the dead do show me. The most important thing that we do here is actually the way we make others feel. That's one of the things, because if you hurt another being, you're actually hurting yourself. And then when you cross over and you have to go through judgment, you have to look at how you treated others, and then you have to feel it. And for a lot of people, that is incredibly shocking, because they do not realize how much they affect others with their actions. And it's really, really, really important that people realize that, because the dead are constantly talking to me about that. And they're constantly talking to me about what is important to you. And 98% of the time, 99.5% of the time, the thing that they say is important to you is the other loved ones that are still here, as well as them. It's that's the importance in life. Nobody from the other side shows me all the cash they have. Actually, the only possessions I tend to see are cars, and it's usually men of a certain age. They tend to be cars that are like the type, you know how some people are with vehicles. I've seen one woman with a car. 98% of the time, though, it's males. But other than that, there are no possessions. There's no need for them. The only thing they have is each other, and they understand that. Hmm. And we've lost sight of that.
Okay, so you mentioned my dad and my mom and my sister, and...
Mm-hmm. You want to talk to them?
Well, I'm just thinking that it would be a good demonstration to share how they communicate.
Yeah, your dad is wanting me to say he's chomping at the bit. He's holding something and is calling it a bit, and he's chomping at it. Yeah, because he says he couldn't wait to talk to you again, Lynn.
Aw.
He also wants me to tell you how proud he is of you. And he's not sure if you see that at this time.
Well, well, thanks. I'm glad to hear that. And I'm just glad that we have the opportunity to talk with Bobby again, because it's been a little while.
Now, this is going to sound funny because I'm saying it is about myself. He says, yeah, because she's too damn busy for us. That's what he said. And he's actually, he wants, when the first time when you surprised me here, because we were actually communicating while you were in Kauai, and he wants me to mention the fact that I had a stain on my shirt.
Oh, geez. Yeah, right.
Yes, because I had no idea you were coming, so I had a stain on my shirt. And your father wants me to bring that up as to show a little bit about me, apparently, because he's telling me that the way I'm talking is making this seem like I take this too seriously, and so do you. He says, every time we talk, we have fun.
Right.
Or you have fun with the girls, he says.
Yeah.
He says, I'm new here. He says, I am, but I'm not, because I'm pretty sure I visited a lot. Did he tell you about that? Because he's showing it as though he's explaining a dream with your mother to you.
Yeah, I'm not too sure about that.
But he wasn't actually bedridden at any time with you, was he?
Just very briefly. The last few weeks were definitely a challenge, yeah.
Yeah, because he's saying something like, mother came to get me, or mom's come to get me, or mother's come to get me. He keeps saying that as though that is the thing that he said. And I could be, and it looks like he was talking to a male.
Well, he could have been talking to my brother.
Yeah, he could very well have been. And you have you have two brothers. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Okie dokie. And, sorry, your sister just shoved your dad out of the way. She said, get away, Dad. That's what she even said. Get away, Dad. Now, do you have you talked about your sister on your podcast before? Or do you have a photograph of her there?
Don't think so. Wait a second. I mean, she used to drop into my radio show when it was a live show many years ago.
Oh, okie dokie. Because did she actually speak on the show at all in any way, shape, or form?
Yep. She was on. Yep.
And did you have a photograph, a promo photograph of the two of you for that purpose?
That's a good question. I don't think so.
Because what she's showing could just be a visualization of you two collaborating, or it actually could be a photograph, because it looks like you have your heads together like a photograph would be.
Okay.
But then if you're collaborating, you might put your heads together.
Right.
And she might be trying to show it to me in that sort of way. When I say it like that, she puts her finger on her nose, which is always the sign of on the nose. That means I've got it right.
Okay.
Yeah, because I tell them, you've got to make sure I know that I'm right when I'm right, because otherwise, what's the good of me? If I start thinking I'm right and going down the wrong way and then I get the message wrong, then what is the point of coming to see me? So I have to try to make it so that everything I say is completely and absolutely authentic to what she's saying. But you knew that.
Well, yeah, I knew that. And it's worth mentioning, though, for those listening to us talking, which usually it's only in spirit who are listening to us talk, but right now physical people are listening to our conversation. So I just want to point out that skeptics will often say, well, you're just feeding the information, right? And I mean, you and I have met in these sessions privately before, and so you know a lot of the background. However, tell us more about how that works, because I'm not feeding you a lot of information, but as you say, you need to confirm that you're on the right track, and it's not fair for me to hold back and say and pretend that what you're saying isn't true. I mean, that's not going to help anybody.
No, but people do it all the time.
Do they?
Oh, yeah. Well, not all the time. Some people do. I don't get it quite as much anymore. I'll get it if I do a fair, because you get people who want to come in and try to debunk you, which I don't get. I don't understand. Why would you wait an hour to do that? I don't get that. But anyway, but you're right. The way the dead speak, sometimes they speak like when your father was talking a lot, he was talking. so I could hear the words he was saying. When your sister burst in, and your sister is much more used to communicating with me, she just showed me picture, picture, picture. And when I see the picture, sometimes those pictures will represent something, like when she puts her finger on her nose, I know that means you're on the nose, Bobby, you got that one right. If I see a picture like the picture of your two heads together that she showed me, sorry, she just said, I'm the star of this. Because she's doing the best, because your mom's like waving at me, like, over here, over here, over here, and your sister's totally in front. Anyway, your sister's so dynamic. She's so you. She's so you on crack.
Oh, dear.
That was her quickly saying that so that I wouldn't correct her. They'll do that, too. They'll pop things out of my mouth because they know I won't want to say it like that to a person, because sometimes it'll sound too cavalier, almost too biting, too mean. But most of the time when I try to hold back, that dead person knows that the client in front of me can take it because they know them better than I do. I'm holding back because I'm afraid that I'm going to hurt someone's feelings, but it's like I'm on the telephone with somebody and I'm telling the other person what they're saying.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it reminds me of the 70s in that way, especially when we get multiple people on. It just reminds me of when, you know, my uncle used to say to my aunt, go pick up the extension downstairs. And they would talk to my parents and my mom would be on one. My dad, you know, that sort of way of communication, which we don't do anymore.
Right. Yeah. It's rare now like that.
It is so very rare. Mm-hmm. In fact, communication is rare, but your sister said, it's getting better. Okay, your sister wants me to describe something else as well because it pertains to right now. I like the way she's showing it because I have seen it this way before because I'm clairvoyant, so I see pictures and then I make the explanations out of those pictures. And if I have the explanation incorrect, they will just keep showing me the picture like your sister did with the picture of you and herself. She wants me to express right now, since all of this pandemic has started, the dead are really active right now. And I would not be surprised if half of your listeners just go, yeah, that's true. Like, they're finding dimes. They're feeling weird. They're feeling a presence. They might even be crying more because the dead can do that to you. When they come close to you, you feel how you felt about them. In fact, I even had a moment before we had the interview about a dog I lost. I felt her. I started to cry. I started to feel my pain. And that's when I realized she's in the room. That's how I know she's in the room.
Yeah, that's interesting you say that. And thanks for mentioning that. Because I've been just having moments of, just feeling really emotional and thinking, okay, well, maybe it's just picking up on the wave of people right now. I mean, it's such an unusual, unprecedented time of feeling. And also, the other night, a week or so ago, I was sort of half asleep. And I felt weight sitting down on my bed. And I've never felt that before.
You're dead. That was me! He's so excited about this newfound power, because he was so powerless for 12 years.
12 years?
That's what he says, and I think that's just his elderliness.
Since he was 80. Since he was 80.
Yeah, and he actually even shows the old age being like a tsunami coming towards him. And he shows himself, and this is very funny, like he's got a cane, and he's trying to outrun that tsunami as fast as he can. And that's how he shows the 12 years, like he was trying to outrun old age.
Wow.
In some sort of way. And he says, you understand that because you are like him.
Yeah. More than
you
ever.
You never
do.
Go down.
No, that's right.
No. Okay, now you're... this is what happens with the dead. I've got three people right here, and all three of them want to talk all at the exact same time because all of them have something to say that they think is of equal importance. Your sister feels that I should talk about the thing I was about, the whole wave of the dead.
Okay, yeah.
Because the way I keep seeing it, when I talk to the dead, they tell me that we are their television. We're their entertainment. They watch us. They think it's fun, as well as doing the things they do, but time is not a construct of the other side. It's just a construct of here.
Right.
Also, they could be everywhere at once. Don't worry that you're taking your dead person away from your sister, because your dead person can be with your sister as well as be with you simultaneously, because there is no time. Now, what your sister wants me to tell you and what I've been seeing for the last month and a half is all the dead, as though they're coming to one side of the boat. They're all coming towards us to watch over us or to see us because chaos has ensued. And there's been such a wave of influx. That's what your dad calls it.
Right, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, he calls it mass exodus. That's a very biblical word, so let's just be careful about that. But he shows the wave of people coming in, the wave of people receiving those coming in, and the wave of the dead watching over us in this way. Because these are super uncertain times, and I honestly see this as being more than just a pandemic. I think the pandemic is systematic of what is actually happening.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think we were quite on the wrong track as a human race. And this hopefully will wake us up and help us to see that it's not money that's important, it's each other that's important.
Yeah.
And which is kind of sad because none of us are together. Well, some of us are together, but very few of us are together. Everyone's so separated, but you're not separated, and that's why you feel so weird. You feel so weird because the person in the apartment next to you is feeling weird, and you are actually feeling them. We're all becoming a little more psychic out of this, and it might be this is a new psychic wave, or that we're becoming more psychic because we're all on the same page.
I was walking out for my daily walk the other day, and I passed somebody who was crossing the street, as we are to do, and I called out to her. It's like we're all in the same retreat center.
Yeah, I know. I've actually waved people from 6 feet away going, it's not you, it's the COVID. I've actually not even made eye contact with people in public places through this. Because it's like if I make eye contact, I'm going to catch something. And then I realize, no, I can't do that. I'm not supposed to do that. I must be as happy as possible. And I must connect with people as much as possible. Because we can't let this massive energy go to a negative point. It has to stay in the light. Because, God forbid, all of us start feeling negatively. Because that will have massive ramifications.
Well, yes, and I think that this is our opportunity to really get it that our energy matters, and each of us, even though we're alone, we can feel that we're not alone, like everybody else is rushing around and we're alone. It's like we're all in the same zone, and so we can feel more, I think, more foundation, more momentum to feel positive, because we know that there's something to build on now. It's not just rushing around and going off a cliff.
Absolutely. I absolutely and totally agree. And I cannot understand these people fighting for what was. Because was it really that good?
No, there's a lot needed to be changed, and a lot was being protested and on the verge of change. And so we got change. Now, okay, so my parents and my sister are clamoring for first place to speak, and I really appreciate that, and I want to hear more. However, I know that during our readings, Bobby, you will sometimes ask or allow or welcome a spirit guide to come forth. And so what's the difference there?